This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of December 29th, 2019. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 114 and Happy New Year. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support the Breaker. On this special edition, a look back at the year 2019, the top 10 most read stories on the Breaker.News for the year, and highlights of the Breaker.News podcasts, the stories, and the guests who made a difference in 2019. I will reveal the newsmaker of the year who received a real Nanaimo bar. But first, a few words about the end of the decade. It's the end of the teens, or the tens, whatever you call it. It's the decade between the naughty oddies and what may become the roaring twenties. I call it the selfie decade, and I suspect others will too. Vancouver held its first Winter Olympics in 2010, and had its second Stanley Cup ride in 2011. The Canucks almost won it all. The Whitecaps joined Major League Soccer in 2011, but have done nothing to inspire any revelry or riots. Gordon Campbell was the Olympic Premier. Christy Clark achieved very little when she was Premier except for expanding the sale of beer and wine. The BC Liberal Party's dynasty ended in June 2017 when John Horgan's Green-supported NDP came to power with a minority government. The BC Liberal-appointed clerk of the legislature, Craig James, is under RCMP investigation for corruption. A public inquiry into money laundering begins in 2020. The excesses of the BC Liberal era are now coming into focus. Horgan, however, kept building the Site C Dam and picked up the LNG promotion torch. The environment became a bigger concern in the decade in BC with battles over pipelines and oil tankers. The 2015 forest fire season was bad enough. In summer 2017, the province declared a state of emergency. Gregor Robertson and Vision Vancouver dominated Vancouver City Hall until 2018 when they realized they had worn out their welcome. They promised to solve homelessness on city streets by 2015, but succeeded instead in attracting Chinese money to luxury towers in a city edging closer to resort status. Robertson actively courted Chinese cash on Chinese social media by leading trade missions to China and even having a Chinese girlfriend, Wanting Chu. There was also a state of emergency across the province declared after the opioid overdose epidemic that killed or disabled thousands. Evidence linked the drug trade with money laundering at casinos and the real estate market. When Huawei's Meng Wanzhou was arrested in December 2018 at Vancouver International Airport, it became the biggest global news story to hit Vancouver since the Olympics in 2010. It also opened the eyes of Canadians to the Chinese Communist Party's influence campaign and the depth of the wealth migration to Canadian shores. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's past as a Vancouver private school teacher caught up with him, but he stayed in power, thanks to some of the same people who kept Christy Clark and Gregor Robertson in power. New Vancouver Mayor Kennedy Stewart, the former Burnaby NDP MP, presides over a city with greater inequality than ever before, where affordable housing remains the biggest worry. It was the year that Vancouver got a giant $5 million chandelier hung under the Granville Bridge that sometimes spun around twice a day. A gaudy bauble that helped distract from the luxury tower built nearby and the sweetheart deals that its developer Ian Gillespie of Westbank got from City Hall after he supported Mayor Gregor Robertson in Vision Vancouver for so many years. But what else happened in 2019 here in British Columbia? Well, you're at the right place. Here are the top 10 most read stories on the Breaker.News. To start the list, in August, Ben Stewart quit the BC Liberal caucus under a cloud. The Kelowna West MLA admitted to a campaign finance irregularity to Elections BC. Elections BC later cleared Stewart of wrongdoing, and he returned to caucus. But both Stewart and Elections BC refused to release the report that cleared Stewart. At number 9, in September, a former Vancouver International Airport vice president sued for wrongful dismissal. Stephen Hankinson alleged that he was fired by the airport authority after a lawyer was hired to investigate a complaint against him. Hankinson claimed that he provided effective and faithful service since 2007. He was paid almost $500,000 in 2018. And number 8, in October's federal election, Richmond Liberal MP Joe Pescosolito got dumped by voters. Despite numerous scandals related to Pesco-Sulido's real estate law firm, Justin Trudeau let the veteran politician run for re-election. But the last straw was when the Breaker.News discovered that one of Pesco-Sulido's campaign workers was a close ally of the People's Republic of China consulate, who had even protested in favor of communist China in August in Vancouver. The Breaker.News introduced readers to Eileen Chen, who said she was a volunteer for Pesco-Sulido, arranging events to attract votes in the Chinese community. On election day, conservative challenger Kenny Chu upset Pesco-Sulido, but Trudeau remained in power with a minority government. Number 7. The Breaker.News revealed that Speaker Darrell Plekis was preparing to go public with his beef about Christy Clark in July 2017. Plekis had even written a news release slamming Clark for putting herself ahead of the party and forcing MLAs to turn their constituency offices into political machines for the BC Liberals. Plekis never issued the news release because Clark quit on July 28, 2017. Number 6. Ryan Holmes, the founder of social media advertising and analytics firm Hootsuite, sued after his bid to buy a $7 million British properties mansion collapsed. Also in 2019, Hootsuite laid off more than 100 staff, and Holmes agreed to give up his CEO position. The company failed to find a buyer after scrapping plans to become a publicly traded stock. Number 5. In March, the Breaker.News exclusively reported how the BC Liberals inked a secret deal in 2016 with Uber to create an insurance policy so that the ride-hailing app could expand to BC. A small company in Whistler and Tofino, however, got BC's first ride-hailing license before Christmas. NDP Premier John Horgan had promised in the 2017 election that the NDP would open BC to ride-hailing much faster than 2019. Number 4. Nicole Chan, a constable with the Vancouver Police Department, died January 27th of suicide. She was only 30. Chan had been on job-related stress leave and complained of sexual harassment by her superiors. Another tragedy strongly suggesting that the culture of policing is not changing fast enough. Number 3. Why is Canada strong and proud, too weak and bashful to reveal who is behind it? That was the headline and theme of a story about a shadowy group that was robocalling Canadians ahead of the fall election. Clearly, the Trudeau Liberal government did not do enough to bring election advertising and data mining regulations up to date. Number 2. In February, former Whitecaps women's team player Kira McCormick blew the whistle on the coach from 2007-2008, Bob Berarda. McCormick discovered that Berarda had become a coach of a teenage girls' team in White Rock and South Surrey, a decade after he had mutually split with the Whitecaps and the national team. How the Whitecaps mishandled the decade-old harassment scandal involving a team that no longer played defined the 2019 season. By the end of 2019, Bob Linderduzzi was no longer president, and John Furlong, the executive chair, had quote-unquote retired from his position. A Toronto law firm's report commissioned by the Whitecaps did little to satisfy McCormick and other players who complained. Meanwhile, the RCMP are investigating allegations. And the top story, as decided by the Breaker.News readers, in September, I got my hands on a copy of the most famous school yearbook in Canadian history, the one from West Point Grey Academy in Vancouver in 2001, with a photograph of Justin Trudeau dressed up in blackface for a fundraising dinner and dance. The Breaker revealed that Trudeau, who was a teacher at the school, taught a yearbook production course to grade 10s and 11s. But try as I might, none of the teachers or students from that era would go on the record about their time with the future Prime Minister. Justin Trudeau was also one of the highlights of the Breaker.News podcast for 2019. In July, I grilled him at the Vanier Park Coast Guard base about his back-and-forth jet trips to Vancouver before the election.
Stephen Harper is not the Prime Minister right now. Andrew Scheer is not the Prime Minister. You're the Prime Minister. I asked you a question about the cost of this trip and why the Liberal Party isn't paying. Can you at least say how much the cost is to taxpayers for this current trip, which includes a fundraiser, which also included your time off in Tofino? How much are taxpayers paying for these?
The Prime Minister has a responsibility to be Prime Minister for all Canadians, and that is part of why I spend an awful lot of time getting out there and meeting with Canadians, listening to them, being at important events like this. It is, in fact, one of the best parts of my job to get out and meet with Canadians right across the country, whether it's town halls where we have an opportunity to take questions from the general public and actually respond to those questions in a way that no other party leader does, about whether it's coming out for important announcements that demonstrate that the cuts that conservatives consistently put forward end up harming our environment and harming Canadians. These are the kinds of things that make a big difference in people's lives, and that's why I'm so glad to be back here in BC.
Questions about your spending, sir. Questions about your spending. Please answer about your spending, sir.
Hi, Prime Minister.
The Toronto Raptors made history as the first non-American franchise to win the NBA championship. The Larry O'Brien Trophy came to the BC Sports Hall of Fame at BC Place Stadium with Alex McKechnie, the Raptors' sports science director, in July.
What set this team apart from other championship teams you've worked with?
A real belief. The coaching staff was amazing. There's a belief from the front office, a belief on everything was just... I think during my Laker years, and we had superstars, you know, with Shaq and Kobe and Kobe Gasol those years, and three-peat, and then win again back-to-back. But there was an expectation of winning, and I think in this case it wasn't really expected. You know, people, you know, it was like, are they for real? You know, those were the questions that media would ask, and you know what? That was the difference. I think there was a real belief within the group, and that just grew and grew and grew. So I think it was unselfishness, complete unselfishness within the room, within our locker room, a belief from the coaching staff, the ability to empower the players in order to do it. That's what makes a difference.
NDP Premier John Horgan finally greenlit a public inquiry into money laundering in British Columbia, the multi-billion dollar problem that has touched the lives of many, causing homelessness and deaths from drug overdoses.
Well, the Minister of Finance, the Attorney General, and I have just left Cabinet, where we have agreed and passed the appropriate orders to hold a public inquiry into gaming and money laundering and the whole range of other activities that have flowed from the investigations that have been underway since we were sworn in as government. That criminal activity has had a material impact on people, whether it be the rise of opioid addictions, the rise of opioid deaths as a result of overdoses, whether it was the extraordinary increase in housing costs. People were being affected by criminal activity in British Columbia. When we received last week the review from the expert panel and the final iteration of Mr. German's second report, it became abundantly clear to us that the depth and the magnitude of money laundering in British Columbia was far worse than we imagined when we were first sworn in.
The 30th anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre of 1989 sparked a new pro-democracy movement in Hong Kong, where citizens took to the streets to protest against an extradition bill and the erosion of civil rights, the erosion of the one country, two systems promise from the 1997 handover from the UK to China. Meanwhile, new revelations of China's jailing of more than a million Uyghur Muslims in Xinjiang concentration camps hit the world news. At a September protest in Richmond in support of Hong Kong, I spoke to Zhou Fengshuo, a survivor of the 1989 protests in Beijing.
As a Tiananmen survivor, I'm very grateful about Hong Kong, what they have done in the last 30 years to keep the truth and the memory alive. What's happening today is a reincarnation of the Tiananmen democratic movement in Hong Kong. The young people today, they grew up going to Tiananmen candlelight vigil. And here too, in Vancouver, there is a very strong presence about the Hong Kong people commemorating Tiananmen. That's a very important, essential democratic education for the young generation.
Jody Wilson-Raybould defied the odds and got re-elected as the independent member of parliament in Vancouver Granville after Justin Trudeau kicked the ex-attorney general out of the Liberal Party earlier in the year. Wilson-Raybould had blown the whistle on how Trudeau and others tried to pressure her to overrule prosecutors and negotiate a plea bargain with SNC-Lavalin over its corruption and bribery charges. The scandal prompted an RCMP investigation and contributed to Trudeau losing his majority.
I know over the last 8 months, we have heard a lot about truth to power. Truth to power is, of course, important, but so too is the power of truth. One of the problems with our partisan politics is that we do not get enough truth. We get packaged truths. We get spun truths. We get partisan truths. But here's the thing. No political party has the monopoly on truth. And where truths are bent and shaped to meet a partisan agenda or create spin, that is no longer truthful. We know that in every sphere of life, the best decisions, ones grounded in the deepest understandings of the truth, come about from listening and learning from each other with open minds and hearts, putting the best ideas and thoughts together with the intention of finding the best solution, and then adopting and implementing in collaboration.
When no one else spoke out against China, Port Coquitlam Mayor Brad West stood up. He led a campaign to boycott the Union of BC Municipalities Convention's cocktail party, which was paid for by the People's Republic of China consulate. West's protests at the convention eventually led to a ban on foreign government lobbying at the Convention for British Columbia Municipal Politicians.
In exchange for providing the government of China access to BC mayors and city councillors, I think what we have there is a gross violation of what our responsibility and duties are. I think that it would be wrong if it were any foreign government. But I also think that China presents a unique set of challenges, and I think is particularly appalling and egregious. And that's because China is engaged in a number of actions that are completely hostile to Canadian national interests and to the interests of our citizens. And beyond that, China is also probably almost without rival one of the worst human rights abusers in the entire world.
This is the time on the Breaker.News podcast when we normally award the virtual Nanaimo Bar, which is brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting. In this case, we end the podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a real Nanaimo Bar to some people who made a difference. Jody Wilson-Raybould and Brad West are honorable mentions for BC's biggest newsmaker and difference maker of 2019, but this week the real Nanaimo Bar went to Daryl Plekis and Alan Mullen. Speaker Plekis and his chief of staff revealed corruption in the legislature and withstood attacks from the BC Liberals and even some in the press gallery. A report in January revealed part of why Clerk Craig James and Sergeant-at-Arms Gary Lenz were suspended and put under RCMP investigation in 2018. Plekis's bombshell January 21st report found James and Lenz took advantage of lax oversight and charged taxpayers millions of dollars for luxurious overseas trips, suits, luggage, insurance, and pension payout schemes, even a wood splitter and trailer that James kept at his house. Former Supreme Court Chief Justice Beverly McLaughlin found James committed misconduct. Former Vancouver Deputy Police Chief Doug Lepard found Lenz breached his duty under the Police Act. James and Lenz both retired in disgrace in 2019. Auditor General Carol Bellringer also decided to retire, and ex-Speaker Linda Reid said she would not run for re-election. The NDP has promised to overhaul the legislature and bring it under the FOI law, and the police continue to investigate. In February, Alan Mullen was my featured guest on the Breaker.News podcast.
The Speaker and I became the story, and to say we took a kicking, again, is an understatement. We were attacked personally, we were attacked professionally. It was incredibly difficult on our families and on us personally. We expected a little bit of it, nowhere near what we got. You know, for two guys trying to do the right thing, our motives were questioned. Our experience was questioned. I mean, the Speaker was called rogue and accused of setting up a parallel government. You know, name calling by you know, elected officials. Well, I don't care what party you're with or what party you support or don't support. That is not, as a British Columbian, that is not what I want or expect out of any elected official, to resort to name calling or making things up. Our motives were simply this: look after British Columbians, look after the tax dollar. And then fast forward to January 21st, this report comes out, literally 180. People from all over this province, you know, coming out saying, thank you, thank you, thank you.
In September, Daryl Plekis was my featured guest on the Breaker.News podcast.
I was expecting a forensic audit. I believe, I still do, that there's more than ample reason to think we ought to have one. That didn't happen. The focus was on policy. And one of the things which didn't surprise me, but I think a main finding of the Auditor General, you know, it wouldn't matter what you're looking at. It's spending in any manner of form, we don't have safeguards in place. I would say that that finding is worse than any other finding we could have come up with, because anybody who understands corruption and corruption in organizations would say that that is nothing short of a candy store for corruption. Like, if you want to facilitate, enable, allow people to do things, engage in untoward behavior, what better way to do it than have no policies at all?
Remember, you can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send us an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of December 29th, 2019. For the year of 2019 and for the decade, too. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on December 29th in 2011, Samoa and Tukalau switched from one side of the international dateline to another side of the international dateline, so they both skipped straight to December 31st? Now you know. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit TheBreaker.News on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/TheBreakerNews. patreon.com/TheBreakerNews. Until next week and next year, Happy New Year. Should I pretend to be a content, I'm about to make